Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Tom Croshaw, and we're going to be talking about how to overcome fear through adventure. Tom runs a three-day adventure breakthrough experience for entrepreneurs designed to test their limits and bring them face-to-face with their deepest fears. They do things like jumping off waterfalls and skydiving. And as you can imagine, these activities will bring up a tremendous amount of fear, and they use the experiences to gain perspective on the ego and limiting beliefs. For more information, you can visit theriseupacademy.com, and I have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So it looks like we don't have Tom here yet, so I'm going to go ahead and just play a real... Whoop, here we go. I believe we do have Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hello, and good afternoon, morning. It's evening over here. I'm not quite sure what time zone you guys are on.
Thank you. Yes, good day. That I like to use that one as well as myself. Kind of covers everything. So, well, I'm really happy to have you joining us here today.
It's quite all right, my pleasure, and appreciate the invite. And you know, I'm more than happy to show up and share some stories, insights, and lessons that hopefully your listeners will find useful and valuable today.
Great, great. Well, you know, let's start with talking about the Rise Up Academy. I mentioned in the introduction that you're the founder of this academy. So would you mind telling the listeners a little bit about what the academy is?
Sure. So the Rise Up Academy is essentially a place where I share and coach other entrepreneurs, business owners, on how to overcome fear. And we can go a lot more deeper on that, but essentially, you know, what I've discovered over the years is there's one thing that holds us entrepreneurs back, and that's a fear of actually doing the thing. And our own conscious beliefs and patterns that keep us stuck in our ways. So Rise Up Academy is really a call to serve those people, because I've been through a lot of stuff in my life and created a business and got out to multiple six figures. And I decided I wanted to really create something that would have an impact. So the Rise Up Academy has its core feature experience, which is called the Adventure Breakthrough Experience. And it's very much, instead of, you know, just an online element, there is an in-person element as well, where it's very experiential. Because often we can take on board a lot of information, but we can't process it all. We can't take the insight from everything. And I find that really getting immersed in something in an experiential way is really the key to transformation on a deeper level. So that's what I've gone ahead and created, and it's a pretty extreme, quite out there adventure, but you know, I often find, and as my life experiences have demonstrated to me, is that when you come across and put yourself in, let's say, reasonably dangerous situations, then we see a really mystical quality of those humans that comes out, and it allows for some transformation and some real introspection that kind of looks into who we are. And why we do what we do and what's really holding us back. So kind of the long answer to that one was, it was really the core of it is helping those entrepreneurs, those business owners who, wherever they are in their business right now, to step up and take that next step to the next level and really go inwards to do the work and to break through some of the stories and the limitations holding them back so they can truly experience abundance in all areas of their life.
Yeah. Now, where are you located?
Yeah, I'm over in the UK. So I'm nowhere near London, which is kind of where people usually think the UK solely exists, is London, right? So I'm from the north, I'm from Leeds, which is about 3-4 hours drive up north. So you might be able to tell by my accent, it's not quite how you hear in the movies. I'm not the smooth, dashing, sort of posh, Dublin type character. When us guys from up north, we have a bit of a different accent, and I've often been told that I sound Scottish. I can kind of see that resemblance, but yeah, that's from Leeds, Leeds Bradford area.
Okay,
one
yeah,
of the
'cause
world's biggest
when I
cities.
was watching your videos, I could tell, obviously it was distinctive, but I wasn't quite sure exactly where. But now, when you do these adventures, are they where do you do them, and what types of adventures have you done in the past?
Okay, so there's various different locations around the world that we could
Okay.
go to and do these adventures. My aim is to progress around the world and get an adventure going up in different countries and different climates, different, because you've got everything from tropical areas to like the mountains and the desert, and it opens up a big can of possibilities. And me personally, where I've done adventures around the world is, I've been to Dubai and did some stuff in the desert, with like sand dunes, and they have the most insane drivers over there. Like, you get into this 4x4 vehicle and you're just driving through these sand dunes, and like you're almost tipping upside down. Like, you feel like the Jeep's gonna roll over. And so we did a lot of other things in the desert as well, and that's where I also, I got my skydiving license over there, and spent 2 months just sometimes up to five skydives a day getting my license. And it's an interesting path that you go down, because you often most people don't know what you need to do to actually become a skydiver. Like, that, there is a process to it. You can't just buy a parachute and jump out of any plane that'll let you. There's some
I
process
would
to it.
want to make sure I'd have all the proper training before I did something like that, for sure.
Yeah. So that's just a little snippet, and there's some amazing places in the UK and that I love visiting quite regularly. There's North Wales is a favourite spot, where I do a lot of multi-pitch traditional track climbing over there, and that's one of my keen passions right now. Is I do a lot of climbing, 3-4 times a week. I'm either in the climbing gym or out at the local crag. So real excitement for the outdoors.
Yeah. Now, you primarily work with entrepreneurs, and why that subset of the population?
Yeah, interesting question, actually. And
Okay.
so I've obviously, I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I love working with people who are similar to me. Every time I meet another entrepreneur, and we have, and it's not with everybody, sure, but those people that I really connect with and vibe with, I think there's something magical there, and I just want to be able to work with other people like me, because I find that they're the most fun, creative, exciting, open, and passionate people. And in my other business, PT Mastermind, which is still operating to this day, I'm handing sort of operations over to my brother, my younger brother, who's really getting stuck into things. I've been working with fitness professionals, and fitness professionals specifically with their marketing and lead generation funnels, and that's been going incredibly well. And I've been working with those guys, and they're entrepreneurs, they're business owners, and they run their own facilities. And we've got some guys making $500,000, $1 million a year. One of my guys has just hit the last couple of weeks, which is incredible. And I'm just inspired by these guys every day that I get to work with them. But there is so much more of a wider scale of entrepreneurs, and I think limiting myself to just the fitness professionals is, you know, that's one of my businesses for sure, but you know,
Mm-hmm.
there's a wider scope for the work I do.
Yeah, well, I could see where, you know, the fitness professionals, especially in the, you know, the very physical, you know, adventures, you know, those would really, I would think, be very attractive, you know, to those, you know, where that is their, you know, primary attention, you know. So, you know, that would make sense. But, you know, I also am in that entrepreneurial, you know, state of mind. And, you know, it does seem that when you venture out on your own, creating your work and your life, that there are a lot of things that, you know, can create fear, you know, a lot of unknowns, and, you know, kind of addressing that fear and overcoming that is paramount to success.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, and I think that is the real reason why most people get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, one of the things I noticed that I was on your website, and you have a great video about overcoming fear, you know, and the idea that we really can't eliminate fear, but, you know, basically our response to it. So how, I mean, is the purpose of your adventures to kind of, you know, not only, I mean, to put people in situations where that fear is just like right in their face, you know, and then walk them through that so that they can come out the other end fearless? Hello there, I'm sorry.
Robert?
Yes, I'm sorry there. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden your mic, no,
yeah,
it looked like
my call drops for some reason.
Yeah, I see. Okay. There we go. Okay. We got you back. You probably didn't hear my question, but
I heard your last question, Robert.
Oh, you did.
About,
okay, great.
Yeah, not the one that you just asked, but before that you were talking about the real reason why a lot of entrepreneurs struggle to
right.
create what they want was fear.
Yeah.
Right. And that's certainly been my experience. You know, often we can kind of you know, go to the next thing, you know, what's the next product, what's the next model, business model, what's the next strategy, what's the next tactic? And we can just start to focus on the external. And that's certainly what I did for maybe 3-4 years in business, about 3 years, when I eventually found a community called The Foundation with Dave Maxwell, and that was a process of 6 months of really like looking into how to properly, you know, start a business, you know, problem, solution, real basic stuff, but, you know, figuring that out and piecing together, you know, the real reasons why I was getting stuck, which led me down the path of limiting beliefs. And when you go inwards, you know, you can generally kind of start to gain an awareness of what's really controlling your life, and it's these unconscious patterns, right? And it's often, we don't need to pile on more stuff, we don't need more tactics and strategies. We actually need to let go and untie of the baggage that we've been holding on to for so long. And yeah, that's certainly been the case for me, and that's a lot of the work I've been doing on myself as well over the last, you know, over the last 2-3 years, very intensely. So, yeah, that's just the process all entrepreneurs go through. It's, you know, life would be boring if we didn't have these challenges, I feel.
yeah. You know, I mean, there is that entrepreneurial spirit. There is that sense of adventure, you know, going out there. And the one thing that I liked, you know, reading from your website and just watching the videos is that that you basically use your life as an experience. I mean, is the basis for a lot of the things that you help people through, and that's I think that's, you know, I personally I think that's great, because then people can see, you know, not only, you know, where you are now, but also kind of what you've gone through. And it kind of shows people the path to transform, you know, that fear.
Yeah, totally. And I'm a big believer of sharing my story in order to inspire others, because I believe in every story there's an insight, and people really do connect with stories on a deep level than just sharing the insight alone. And I feel that I've been through some experiences, and I'm willing to share some of the more pertinent ones today, if that's a sort of a wormhole you want to go down. But I feel as intense, you know, lessons that I've learned through some of these experiences that, you know, when you share that with other people, it hits them on such a deep level, because it hits certain core values that, you know, we all hold. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I'm sure you might have heard of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a lot of stories touch on some of those basic needs of, you know, all levels of the pyramid, and we can all relate to that because we're all on a similar journey.
Yeah, very much. Now, when one of the things that I kind of want to talk a little bit about is fear, you know, and, you know, in one of your videos you talk about fear and excitement is kind of being very similar in nature, and that we can't really totally eliminate fear. And so would you mind talking a little bit about, you know, that idea of maybe, you know, fear has a purpose and what to do with it?
Sure. Yeah, and that's a really fascinating topic, actually, once you get into the nitty-gritty and you look into the neuroscience aspect of it all, and how it all operates on that kind of level, on the neurological level. Because fear is there for a reason, and, you know, it's been a core fundamental of our sort of behavior from, you know, through our evolution. And, you know, there's this part of our brain called the amygdala. And whenever we come across some kind of stimulus, something in our environment that threatens us, and that causes harm, or in one way or another alerts our amygdala, that's what's going to trigger the fear response. And it's the fight or flight, right? And we've all heard of the fight or flight response. And it takes over your brain, takes over control of the logical reasoning, you know, function of your neocortex. So it hijacks it, right? With all these neurochemicals, hormones, you know, releasing into your body, preparing yourself for this fight or flight response. But the cool thing is, when we can actually learn how to manage that fear, even in those stressful situations, we can actually gain an awareness and the control over that allows us to operate functionally and make, you know, proper decisions. Because sometimes when we get fearful, we can make snap decisions, we can make decisions that aren't particularly beneficial for us. So fear and excitement, you know, are very much the same thing. It's just how you interpret it. Because, you know, for some people, you know, they can get excited at the thought of going rock climbing, right? But there's some people,
and I have that fearful one. That idea gives me the willies.
Tied into the rope and going up high, and mm-hmm. what if you fall? Are you going to hurt yourself? And sure, you know, when you're climbing, you do have bursts or, you know, feelings of fear. But when you get used to that sensation and that particular environment or that particular activity, let's say. And I can remember this profoundly when I was skydiving, right? I was in Dubai and I was in the desert. And, you know, when you go up to altitude, which was 12,500 feet, we're going up and the door opens at like 3,500 to let the air in. And I'm sat there right next to the door. Like, literally, if I rolled to the right, I'd fall out. And I was just looking down and literally I could just see the desert below me as I popped my head out the door. And it was funny, that was must have been my 22nd jump. Can't quite remember the details. And I was surprisingly calm and relaxed, and actually really enjoying myself. And I don't know what was different about that day. Maybe it's because I didn't have as much pressure on me, because there wasn't a specific thing I had to do in that level. I just had to do my jump and do what was, what we planned, and there was no pass or fail on it. I was a little bit more relaxed. I was breathing. I was visualizing. I felt really good. And I didn't feel fearful. I wasn't particularly scared or anxious or, I remember the first time that I went skydiving and, the thoughts of death, what if the plane crashes? What if my parachute doesn't open? What if, I go into land and I break my legs? What if all these crazy situations that actually don't help you in the moment? Right? And this is a fight or flight response. Yeah, they don't help you. They don't help you. They don't add to the situation. They only take away from it. And when we can distinguish between these thoughts that are rushing around in our head and actually our inner voice, that's really where the power is. And it's a process. It's something that doesn't happen overnight, but it is something that is achievable for every single person out there. And it all comes down to making a choice in the moment of what to do. And I've got this wristband on my wrist right now, and it's from one of my coaches, Marcy Locke, who's a fantastic human being. And it says, choose your best life. Simple but profound, because we all said and done, we all have a choice of what we're going to do in our life. Whether you're aware of it or not is that next level,
Right. Yeah. When you mentioned all of those things that could go, the thoughts of the things that could go wrong, with that skydive, those are exactly what would have gone through my head, without a doubt, but what's interesting, it sounds like what you're saying is that, in that particular case, to control the fear of that moment is to shift the thinking to really throw out those those possibilities that would threaten your survival, and shift it to more of a view. A positive experience. Reframing it in a way.
Yeah. You're right in a sense, and let me give you my perspective and take on this. So instead of trying to change it or trying to warp it or trying to completely ignore it and hoping that it would go away and vanish, instead, what the process is and what you get to do is actually observe it. Observe the thought from that third person perspective, and choose not to experience it. And yes, it might be difficult at first, but a lot of things are difficult in life. But it's making that choice in the moment, and it's as difficult as you make it to be, really. And instead of choosing to experience that thought, which is where the emotion gets involved, which affects your behavior and any sort of physical sensations attached to that, we can just take the thought, observe it, and move on. And you may need to do that every second for if I'm in the aircraft, and I do remember consciously doing this when I was doing my training. I do remember these thoughts coming up in my head, but I was like, right, okay, Tom, this is just a load of garbage that's floating through your brain. So what, you're not going to die. You've been trained. All you're going to do is follow your training. You're in an aircraft that built and engineered to be absolutely run for 10, decades with the right servicing, of course. But there's no logical weight or argument you could put towards you actually putting yourself, you actually dying right there. The risk and the chance is so low. It's lower than getting into your car and driving.
Yeah, yeah, Well, you know, so statistics. So the idea is not to ignore those thoughts, but just to observe them, kind of, and put them into context. I mean, to put them into a logical place. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I have the training. There's no reason why I should be fearful. Even though sometimes it does happen, you know, but it's a very rare occurrence.
Yeah, just be with your thoughts. Experience and be with them. And this is really where being fully present is so important. And you know, if you're not fully present in the moment, then you're going to allow your unconscious patterns to just take over. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, I mean, because fear, like you say, really comes from that primal, you know, flight or fight kind of instinct, you know, that we have. And it's, you know, to me, I see it all the time. I mean, people become paralyzed by it. I mean, they just, you know, and, you know, some of it I can understand, you know, as, you know, being based in maybe some of their prior experience or things that they've seen. Or just, I mean, if you look at the world around you, we're constantly being fed fear, you know, to fear this and that is sometimes really just by the fact of, you know, listening to media. Or even on the internet, and some of the things that you just you're constantly confronted with it. So sometimes it seems like it's almost a knee jerk reaction to go to fear.
Yeah, and you know that does open up another whole kind of worms, and you know in terms of the media and how all that is involved in this perpetuation of a state of fear, which you know I wouldn't be doing my work if people weren't still affected by their fears and limitations, right? There wouldn't be so many mental health cases if people were fed good quality information that wasn't based in fear and judgment and criticism and celebrity and all this absolute rubbish that gets perpetuated in the media. And yeah, me and you, Robert, we're entrepreneurs and we're running businesses, we're helping people, we're spreading the message, we're sharing our voice and insight and with hope to inspire others. And we can often, you know, get engulfed in that world so deeply that we kind of sometimes forget that, you know, we're kind of like the 1%, you know, the rest of most of the population are still in that 9-5 mentality who are, you know, who are reading the newspaper every day, who are watching the news. And you know, I stopped reading newspapers and watching TV a long time, like a good 3 or 4 years ago, because I went down that rabbit hole and uncovered it for what it was. And this is why I'm on this show, to spread, you know, a higher message and to share some hope and inspiration and guidance for others.
Very much.
It's what happened in the media is absolutely, I can't get my head around it, and I'm sure you probably have thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, it's just craziness. But well, we're about halfway through the show. I want to take just a quick 90-second break here, and I do invite anyone, if you're listening, you'd like to call in and ask Tom any questions. You can call in at 619-789-4359, or for those of you who are listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like for me to pose to Tom, feel free to type it in there. And then, Tom, when we come back, you have a I went through and read your blog posts, your recent blog posts, and there was one of them that you had, the 4 stages of long-term mindset change. For abundance. I really like what you said there, and that is, you know, the information that you have there, also with, under the umbrella of adventure, but the information that you have there I think would be really helpful for the listeners. So I'd like to talk about that when we come back, okay?
Yeah, absolutely fine, sure.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest joining us from the UK is Tom Crawshaw, and we're talking about how to overcome fear through adventure and talking about his three-day adventure breakthrough experiences that he has for entrepreneurs. You can find out more about Tom and his work by visiting the website, theriseupacademy.com. And also, you can visit www.adventurebreakthrough.com. I do have a direct link to both websites in the show page description. And Tom is also on Facebook, so if you use that as your as a social media platform for yourself, I do have a direct link to Tom there as well. So be sure to join him and like his page and follow him there. So with that, we're back, Tom.
Awesome. Yeah, great. Good stuff, Robert.
Thank you. Well, okay, you know, as I mentioned before the break, that I read your blog post about the four stages of long-term mindset change. And I loved it. You said, without the affirmations and personal fluff. And I think, I like your style. it's like, let me get to the point. Let's do something that works. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And one of the things that you mentioned in that particular blog is that when it comes to a lot of coaches and, people out there who talk about, changing the mindset, often, do that whole affirmative affirmation type of route. But you said that they focused on content versus context. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I'll share a little bit about the personal development industry, and I have no particular beef with particular experts or whatnot. Like, I don't have anything at heart against affirmations. I think they can be used in specific situations, but in general, shouting in the mirror a specific sentence at yourself is not going to change who you are. And the reason why I feel so convinced about that is because I've tried it. I tried it for like a year, 2 years, and it just really wasn't, it wasn't affecting me at my core. Mm-hmm. And the real reason why this doesn't work is because at your core, you haven't changed. So it doesn't resonate with who you really are. So, it's like the whole fake it till you make it. Like, is that really going to work? Like, surely, if you've got an energy about yourself, like, and you're trying to just pull off something that, isn't who you are, then it's not going to work. And this is what, the positive affirmation stuff is all about. So I think they can work. I think if you create some statements that are deep truths for yourself and you just want more of that in your life, or if they really align with your own personal values, I think they can be great tools, certainly. But really where real mindset change happens is following what I see as the four stages to long-term mindset change. And I'm going to share those with you right now, and I'm going to go into detail on each specific step. So I call it the four A's, and I learned this from a brilliant mentor of mine called Brian Grasso, and I have another mentor, Marcy Locke, I mentioned to you earlier, both absolutely amazing human beings. And, you know, really, at the core of it, it's like you said, changing the context rather than the content. Yeah, instead of trying to change the thought, yeah, well, how about we change the context? So, you know, how that thought is perceived, right? And really, all through our lives, we've had all these influences from different people, society, parents, environment, TV, media. We've had all this influence that's shaped our beliefs, it shaped our stories, our map of the world, how we perceive things, right? So instead of working on a specific thought, how about we change the picture? How about we change the whole landscape instead of cutting down a bush? How about we revamp the whole landscape and we change the actual context of the whole thing? And that's really what these four A's are all about. It's about changing the story. And for long-term mindset change, it goes in this following sequence: acceptance, awareness, accountability, and adaptation. So I'm going to talk about stories because stories are really what run our lives. You know, have a story for business, have a story for relationships, story around health, story around why we are not who we are, and, you know, why we've not achieved what we want to achieve. And really, the first step is accepting the fact that everything is just a story. Everything is a story that can be rewritten and changed. But if you've really got to fully accept that fact and surrender to the possibility that things can change. And that's step number one. Step number two is really gaining an awareness of what's really going on. And, you know, I'm a big fan of journaling, Robert, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are as well. I think it's an amazing thing to be doing. But often we journal about the good things. We journal about the big wins. We journal about, you know, how awesome today is going to be. And that's great. Do it every day. And I do that as well. You know, I do my big wins in the evenings and my intentions for the day and all that good stuff. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying give that up. But what I am saying is gaining awareness of the bad stuff, gaining awareness of the negative thoughts, of the things that you're not so happy with, the things that give you frustration, the things that cause you anger, things that cause you distress and any kind of negative emotion. We want to be getting an awareness of that because that's going to hold the key, that's going to hold the insight for us on what we need to change. Pretty logical, right? But you know, we all get taught to journal, and typically we won't journal the stuff that we don't really want to write down. You know, we want to forget about.
Yeah, well, because if you go back to it, it's kind of like you would much rather read about the good stuff than the bad. So I mean, I think it's kind of human nature in a way to try and not focus on the negative, you know, but writing it down would create a focal point to go back to, but like you say, it also provides the basis of recognizing what needs to be changed, you know, and unless you see that, and then I suppose that once you have changed, then going back, it will kind of cement the idea of, wow, I have overcome whatever that was.
Exactly. And okay. So this is something, you know, everybody should be incorporating into their daily journal routine and perhaps have a separate journal for your negative thoughts. So you've got it all in one place. And when we do this consistently every day, it's often good to have the journal by your side. So when something does come up, you can actually write it down. And that's also a really good process for working through it and observing it but not experiencing it. You know, by just writing it down and just, you know, getting that out of your body and onto paper. There's some really interesting neurology to do with your hand and how your hands wired up neurologically to specific areas of your brain. Absolutely fascinating. Not got time to go into it right now. But that's again, that's another wormhole, another kind of worms that you can go down. So with the awareness stage, this is about spotting those unconscious patterns. And over the space of 2-3 weeks, your daily consistent journaling, what's going to happen is you're going to see patterns. You're going to see things pop up. You're going to see particular behavior traits, particular emotions that are going to keep reoccurring. And it's these that we need to identify that we can work on. And at this stage, it's really important to note, and something that a concept that I want to share with your listeners is this concept of a free nature and bound nature. And bound nature is what it says on the tin, you know. It's like being bound, it's being tied up, it's being tight, it's being restricted, the opposite of flow. And this is typically when we experience emotions of anger, of sadness, of jealousy, of being comparative and resentful and criticizing other people, you know, all the negative emotions, essentially. And that's not our natural state. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. That's just your stories. That's just your stories in response to the situation, to the environment. It's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So your free nature, on the other hand, is the opposite. It's who you are. It's your free nature. You're present. You're calm. You're aware. You're in tune. You're in flow. This is the state we should be in all the time. And why are we not in this state all the time? Because we get in our own way. We get, you know, it's like there's like a nice river flowing along. And what do? We go and stand in it and disrupt the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is what we're doing. You know, Harvard scientists did a study of, you know, how often are negative thoughts getting in the way. And it's about 50% of the time, which is crazy. And I suggest I suspect it's probably more than that for a good chunk of people. So once we gain the awareness, spot these patterns, we can then disassociate from those patterns, because that's not who we are. Yeah, we give it a name, we label it, we give them, you know, worrying Walter or angry Andrew. Yeah, you know, it's just things like this. Because then when that pops in your head, it's like, oh, it's only worrying Walter, go away, and we can actually completely disassociate. It's not us. We can attach another voice to it, a different tone, different accent, maybe. Right? You could, you know, if there was an angry Andrew inside of you, Robert, you know, you could give that a British voice and Queen's English, and that wouldn't be who you are. Right? Uh-huh. So we gain the awareness, and that's great. You know, a lot of people get to that stage, and a lot of spiritual people, especially, you know, have the awareness. But they don't do anything about it. And this is the next step. This is the accountability. This is really where the rubber meets the road and where change starts to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment, we spot the pattern. Oh, you're getting a bit worried, getting a bit tense. You're feeling the tightness in your chest. And, you know, you have a short temper and you start getting frustrated. And, oh, hold on a second. I'm feeling these sensations and I've just caught myself. So what am I going to do? Yeah, I've got a choice now. What am I going to do? Am I going to carry on? Am I going to carry on in this state? Or can I use some tools, some techniques to help shift my state, move my attention? And this is really the gist of some of the coaching techniques, you know, of figuring out what's going to be effective at, like, you know, stopping that pattern, of interrupting that pattern. Because you can't just sit there. Well, it's going to be difficult for you to sit there and keep doing the same thing while these thoughts are coming in, and you're like, right, I've made, you know, I've got the awareness, but keep doing the same thing. It's just going to keep pulling you along that stream. You need to stop it and interrupt the pattern, and then you hold yourself accountable to it. It's like if you're gaining the awareness, but you're not making the choice, you're actually strengthening the pattern, right? So mm-hmm. when we make that choice consistently over time, a really neat thing happens is our mindset adapts automatically. Yeah. And I don't know if you can see that, but when we make that choice in the moment consistently, that's the action. That's us saying no. We're going to take a different path. That's what's going to create your new story over time. This is why it is a long term process. But you can gain that insight and you can start making that choice instantly. You know, once you gain the awareness, you can start making that choice.
Yeah, so you know. I was going to say, you know, the one thing, and it makes sense that as you continue to make the different choices, you know, that the story that you talk about is shifts. I mean, there are new chapters and paragraphs being written each time you make a different choice. So then it basically becomes really a whole new story, a different way, so that it becomes kind of the new choices become second nature, that you don't really have to think about them. They become more automatic as you continue to do them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So, you know, once you're in that process, you know, over time will become automatic. You know, you'll have gone from unconscious incompetence right through to conscious competence, unconscious competence, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can base the whole scale on that. And, you know, we have a really cool thing in our brains called neuroplasticity, where, you know, we can actually physically mold the neurons in our brain according to the action we take and the activities that we do. So we can strengthen a specific response, we can strengthen a specific action, a behavior, for example, and just by repeating the process.
Yeah, very much. You know, the one thing I particularly liked when I was reading, this particular post was, you know, the focus on, you know, the story, the whole idea of a story, When you think about a story, you think about something that's kind of written, that there are just so many different ways that the plot can go, you know, and that it's not necessarily true. I mean, there's a whole lot of fiction stories out there, you know, and it seems to kind of, I think, set the stage to know, you know, at core level, that there is there's a lot of your life, in a way, is based on, or your beliefs and are based on things that your soul, you know, really doesn't relate to. I mean, it doesn't resonate with, you know what I mean? That isn't really for your highest good. And, you know, and so, I mean, to me, it makes it easier, at least for me, in my mind, to be able to recognize that, you know, these changes can be done. You know, when people talk about beliefs, you know, because you talked about, you know, that really a lot of these stories kind of combine as we're growing up to be the basis of our belief system. And then we respond and we behave according to our beliefs, you know. And when I think about beliefs versus stories, to me, beliefs are more like ingrained, you know what I mean? They're kind of like that record that has been played over and over again, so that, you know, once it starts, I know what the words are next, you know, versus a story, which is like page after page, I don't know what's next, you know, and it could be anything. So
I completely see where you're going with that. My interpretation of that is essentially, you know, your story is a collection of beliefs. So, and the way I refer to stories in this particular instance is the fact that it's a short story. You know, it's a repeating cycle of, beginning, middle, end. You know, this whole process. So, in a sense, you know, it is a fully written story, and you kind of know what's going to happen next. But the really cool thing is you can change that and you can rewrite the ending. To however you choose.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and you also had a wonderful blog post about the four stages of life and how does to design your destiny. And you know, mm-hmm. that I really like that one because, you know, you talk about how really, you know, certain things happen and that, you know, in that particular one you talked about that, you know, you've kind of gone through stuff, you know, and that, you know, you still are, and we all are, mm-hmm. and we always will, but it's a matter of kind of making choices, conscious choices, to be able to direct the destiny to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, that specific example, that post that I wrote was really outlining the four stages of life. And I don't know if I have much time to go into it right now, but I will briefly touch on that in saying that the four stages of life are very fundamental. And you can often see this in the business community. And you start off, you know, as you know, you're 9-5er, the person who doesn't really take full responsibility of their life and the choices they're making. And it's the victim mode. It's everything's happening to me. You know, this happened because of this, and you know, that means me, and this is causing this, and you know, I can't do this because of that. And you're just blaming other people, blaming the circumstances for the situation that they've actually, you know, created themselves. So once we transcend that, once we gain the awareness of that, we can then go to the next level, which is everything happens by me. And it says what it does on the tin. Everything's going to happen by me, by my hard work. I'm going to hustle, I'm going to grind, I'm going to work my ass off, I'm going to put in the hours to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. I'm essentially going to force something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just through brute force, through, you know, hustle and grind. And people can do that. That's, you know, that's what I did for 3-4 years in my business. And it can work. And you can create some great businesses. But really deep down, life can be so much easier. And this is really the next level of evolution for a lot of entrepreneurs now, is actually transcending the everything happens by me to everything happens through me. So when everything happens through you, it's essentially like your business is an extension of your life. Your business is happening as a result of your alignment with your inner guidance.
Mm-hmm.
As woo-woo as it might sound, it's been written about for decades that all the most successful people have gotten insights and answers to the questions they were asking through some kind of intelligence, and call it intuition, call it God, call it universe, call it divine creation or your higher self. It's pretty much the same thing. So when we actually listen to our voice inside and we connect and we tune in and we strengthen that channel and we turn up the volume, we can actually start asking the right questions and getting some really deep, profound answers. And that's where a lot of people are moving towards right now. There is a big shift happening, and I'm lucky enough to be mentored by a couple of those who are very much stepping into that fully and authentically as themselves. And that's the stage that I'm moving through right now. You know, I've got PT Mastermind. That was essentially a business that I really enjoyed creating, but it isn't my you know, my super passionate business. You know,
Yeah,
I'm not a personal trainer. And I created that. You know, one of my fears when I was creating PT Mastermind was, are people going to accept me helping them with their fitness business if I'm not a fitness professional myself?
Right.
And I overcame that. You know, now, like I said, I work with fitness professionals around the world in that business, and I've helped people create $500,000, $1 million businesses from next to nothing, which for me, you know, it just goes to show that if you know what you're on about and you can truly help people with your gifts and the value that you can bring, that's just another example of how fear gets in the way. So to the fourth level, we go from through me to everything happens as me. This is really reserved for spiritual enlightenment, where you really do see yourself in everything. You see yourself in other people. You see yourself in nature and the environment. And it's a very, you know, the Buddha and Gandhi and you know, the prominent figureheads of the spiritual movement and other people who go down that kind of path, that's really where that reaches and comes to a head. So I hope that explains it in some kind of detail, and I hope people can grasp, you know, the progression and maybe see where they're at. And I'm not saying this is a dynamic system. Yeah, one area of your life might be in the victim mode, and the other area might be in the by me, and one area might be in through me. Yeah, that's just
right. And I mean, it's really just we talked about it's like levels of consciousness. That's really, you know, what it is, and it can be like you said in different areas of your life. But I think just the awareness of those levels and how they kind of manifest in your life. Just having the awareness is like the first step to recognizing the various parts of your life and being able to, you know, say, oh, okay, now this particular one, I'm in level one, you know, in the area of, let's say, work, you know, and I really kind of, you know, want to go ahead and move to two or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, it's just once you have that awareness, then it becomes easier to make more conscious choices to, you know, to get to that level. And, you know, I'm not sure how many of us would get to the as, you know, as me, but certainly if we can, you know, having life work through me, you know, it's so much easier, it's so much more fulfilling to do it that way.
Yeah, and that's where life can be easy. It doesn't have to be a hard hustle. Sure, you know, there's lessons that we're all going to have to learn, but it doesn't have to be difficult. You know, my mentor, she does $200,000-$300,000 a month, and it's just so easy for her. Like, she literally says to herself, you know, how much money can I manifest today? You know, when she's on a plane ride, how much money can I make while I'm in the air? And just being open to the possibility and having the faith in the guidance that she receives on everything that she's acting on. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Well, gosh, we're down to the last couple of minutes here, Tom. This has really been, I really enjoyed our conversation, you know, because this is one area that, you know, I know so many people deal with on a daily basis, you know, and some of the wonderful information that you gave us really gives people something to think about. Now, if people are interested in contacting you about your 3-day adventure breakthrough experiences or just any of the other kinds of services you offer, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Sure. So I always tell people to just add me on Facebook, and I spend a lot of time on there, and you know, I post a lot, post videos, long form posts, images, all sorts of stuff, really just to give people an insight into really who I am and how I'm living my life. So that's the first port of call. If you're not really on Facebook that much, that's cool. Best place to get me at is theriseofacademy.com, and you'll be able to find all my information on the contact page. A lot of blog posts and things on there that I'm sure will keep you interested for a little while.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate you calling in and chatting with us. And I've liked your page, so I look forward to following you there on Facebook.
Awesome, Robert. Listen, thanks for inviting me along, and it's been great to take part and share, you know, the insights and knowledge that I've gained over the years. So I really hope people who've been listening have got some value from today.
Great, thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest joining us from the UK is Tom Crawshaw, and he is the founder of 3-Day Adventure Breakthrough Experiences, the Rise Up Academy, and you can find out more, again, by visiting his website, theriseupacademy.com, and you can also find more information by visiting adventurebreakthrough.com. And as we just mentioned, Tom is also on Facebook, and I have links to both websites and a link to his Facebook page as well, all in the show page description, so be sure to join him there. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me
That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.